Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning on the first day of the year. We have a good crowd here this morning, and we want to welcome everyone this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. We want to invite you to want you to feel comfortable and let you know that you are honored guests, and we want to invite you to come back every opportunity that you have to be with us. Our main text this morning will come from the book of Philippians. If you want to turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. There were a lot of fireworks going on at my house last night, about 11 o'clock. People looking up into the sky at the beautiful fireworks. I thought about this morning, and I thought, you know, we ought to look up in the sky more often. The heavens declare the glory of God. The stars. I don't think the stars get enough of our attention these days. I think we're too busy with our gadgets and various things and don't take enough time to think about God and to think about eternal things. But this is the beginning of a brand new year. And with any new year comes a lot of New Year's resolutions, don't they? Maybe you've made some yourself. Apparently, one of the most popular New Year's resolutions is to get into shape based on all the commercials on television. That's what they're all about. Eating better, getting more healthy, even weight training, weight training and so forth, gyms and so forth. Getting into shape. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. In fact, Paul spoke about that in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, bodily exercise, it profits a little bit. It profits a little. But Paul went on to say, godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. He said in verse 10, it is for this, that is, it is for the life to come that we labor and we strive. This body is going to wear out. This body is not going to last forever. We know that. And what Paul said, what matters is your spiritual condition. What matters is your spiritual health, the inner man. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the inner man. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, Paul said, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I entitled the lesson this morning, Four Steps to Spiritual Growth. And I want us to think about that. I want us to think about our spiritual health this morning, our spiritual well-being, and to think about getting in shape and growing stronger spiritually. There's four things in our text this morning. Four things that we see here that I want us to look at. Four things that are steps to spiritual growth. And the first thing that we see in this text is there has to be some level of dissatisfaction. Paul said, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. He said, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. Paul wasn't satisfied with where he was. He said, I'm not perfect yet. There are still some things that I'm working on spiritually. And that's pretty amazing when you think about the Apostle Paul. All that he did and all he endured and all that he accomplished for the cause of Christ. Think about his missionary journeys, the churches that he established, all the persecutions that he endured. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, he was in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, and dangers in the wilderness, and dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. He said, apart from that, apart from such external things, there is this daily pressure upon me of concern for all of the churches. That's an amazing thing to me. And he's writing this letter from Rome, and from prison in Rome. And he says, I'm not satisfied. We see this level of dissatisfaction with the Apostle Paul. And that needs to be, there needs to be this certain amount of dissatisfaction to keep us pressing on. It's essential for our spiritual growth. If we ever get to the point where we've said, I've made it, I'm there, I've arrived, that's when we become complacent, isn't it? That's when we become lukewarm and lazy spiritually. Think about physical growth for just a minute. We've got many, many young children here, many parents with young children. When our children get to a certain level, when they first learn their ABCs, we don't stop there and say, I'm satisfied with that. When they first learn that 2 + 2 = 4, or they learn to count to 20, or they learn their first word, we're not content with that, are we? Because there's so much more to learn, isn't there? We don't accept stagnancy in our physical life. Yet sometimes we reach a certain level in our spiritual life, in our spiritual growth, and we accept that. And we say, I'm content. I'm content with that. We can't let that happen, brothers and sisters. Paul was not content. Though he had accomplished so much, he was not content. He kept pressing on. Sometimes we can delude ourselves into becoming spiritually satisfied. How does that happen? I think it happens often when we compare ourselves to other people. We compare ourselves to the world, for example. We compare ourselves to others that may not be as spiritually minded as they ought to be. Paul spoke of those in the church of Corinth that were that way. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, he says, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. I think there's a little bit of sarcasm in Paul's tone there. He says, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. If we find some level of satisfaction by comparing ourselves to someone else, Paul says that is not a wise thing to do. That's a foolish thing to do. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. That is the standard that we need to be comparing ourselves to. We need to be diligently reading and diligently studying, comparing ourselves to God's Word, and asking ourselves, am I measuring up to that standard, God's standard? And if we do that, that will cause us to keep pressing on to spiritual maturity. When we see ourselves as God sees us, and we are a doer of the Word and not merely a hearer, deluding ourselves, as James would say, then we're going to grow spiritually. Because we won't be self-satisfied with ourselves. There's got to be a level of dissatisfaction in our spiritual growth. We've got to say, I want to do more. I need to do more for the Lord. Secondly, we see in Paul there was this singleness of purpose. Paul said, but one thing I do. That's what makes great athletes so great, isn't it? Most of them focus on that one thing. That one thing, they work their entire lives on that one thing. And Paul compares the Christian to an athlete in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. That you may win. Paul says that we need the same kind of spiritual determination that an athlete has. That same oneness of purpose. Like an athlete that's striving for the gold medal. Too often I think we find ourselves caught up in wanting to do so many things. And we spread ourselves too thin. But Paul said, this one thing I do. He had a central focus. And that was to be pleasing to God and to be more like Christ. He centered his energies and his efforts on that one thing. To fulfill his ministry. The Lord had chosen Paul to preach to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul didn't feel worthy of that. He didn't feel worthy of being chosen by God. In fact, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, he says, for I am least of all the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Did you know that we can receive the grace of God in vain? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, he said, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And Paul said, his grace toward me is not going to prove vain because I have this one purpose in life. And I'm going to labor more than all of them. He didn't feel worthy because he persecuted the church of God. But Christ chose him anyway. And his attitude was, I do not want to let the Lord down in any way. So he labored more than all of them, he said. He said, this one thing I do. And it's a great example to us of how to achieve spiritual maturity, like Paul. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Think about what David said here in Psalm 27 and verse 4. David said, one thing I have asked from the Lord. One thing that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity does not just happen by accident. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes focusing on that one thing. And it's so easy for us to become distracted, isn't it? Even things that are good within themselves can take us away from that one thing. I know some of you have kids that are in the Boy Scouts. Chris was in the Boy Scouts at one time, and he couldn't find his Boy Scout knife, but I remember he had a little Boy Scout knife. And it must have had at least 10 gadgets on it. I mean, it had all sorts of things that it could do. It even had a little pair of scissors, you know, that you could cut paper with. It had a screwdriver and all sorts of things. It was a pretty neat little thing. It could do a little bit of everything, really. But it couldn't do anything real well. I think that's the way it is sometimes with us. We have all these things going on. All these things tugging at us, tugging us this way and that way, and all these gadgets. And we never get around to looking at the stars. And we never get around to growing spiritually like we ought to. Paul said, "This one thing I do." The psalmist said, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." This is a way to grow spiritually. Delighting in his word, spending time with it, meditating on it regularly, day and night. The third step to spiritual growth is forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Forgetfulness is often not a good thing. Like forgetting maybe where you put your keys or forgetting your anniversary. But in this case, Paul tells us we need to forget some things. We need to put some things behind us, Paul says. You know, ball teams do that. They lose a game, they lose a big game, and then the coach says, "Let's put that behind us, and let's look forward to the next game." A runner is told, "Never look back to see where your opponent is, because it'll take your mind off the goal for just a second, and it'll break your stride." And that's what happens to us spiritually when we don't forget the past. We're not talking about no remembrance in the sense of not being able to remember, or we're not talking about not learning from our mistakes. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about forgetting what lies behind in the sense we don't let those past events influence or affect us today. We don't live in the past. For example, we can't let our past sins and our past regrets keep us from moving forward, Paul would say. We mustn't let those things drag us down and prevent us from being spiritually minded people and growing spiritually the way God wants us to grow. Again, think about Paul for a moment. How he persecuted Christians, putting them in prison. Remember where Paul was when Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 7? How they laid their garments at the feet of the Apostle Paul? Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "He was in hearty approval with putting Stephen to death." Paul regretted that. He said, I'm not worthy to be an apostle." Think about Peter for a moment. How Peter denied the Lord three times. Peter regretted that. In fact, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75, the Bible says that Peter remembered. He remembered the word which Jesus had said. Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, Peter remembered, but he also forgot. He didn't let that stop him from being the kind of servant that God wanted him to be. Paul said, I forget those things that are behind. I don't let those things influence me anymore. I look forward and I press on. We can't let the past, our past sins and our past regrets, hold us back and keep us from pressing forward to spiritual maturity. And we can't let our past accomplishments hinder us either. We cannot rest on the past, on the good things that we have done in the past. Because resting on our accomplishments can keep us from moving forward. Think about Paul again. His missionary journeys, the churches that he established, all the people that he converted to Christ. Paul didn't sit back and say, look at all that I've done. Paul said, forgetting. I forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. The question is, are we doing the same thing? Are we doing the same thing? Are we reaching forward to spiritual maturity? Or are we resting on our past accomplishments? Paul said, forgetting what lies behind, reach forward to what lies ahead. And finally, Paul said, I press on. I press on toward the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Again, like an athlete, like a runner coming down the home stretch, using all of his energy, looking toward the finish line to break that ribbon. Paul said, I've got to have this prize. This prize is everything to me. This prize, Jesus spoke about this prize. It's like the man who found the treasure hidden in a field. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Or like the man, Jesus said, who found a pearl of great price. Jesus said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went out and sold all that he had and he bought it. Jesus said, what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? We talked about this passage in our Bible class this morning. I didn't know we were going to talk about that topic this morning, Randall. But I appreciate so much the Bible class this morning. And I wish that more were there in our Bible class this morning. I want to encourage you to be there in our Bible class. You don't know what you're missing. We need to press on to spiritual maturity. The Apostle Paul said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink and not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able. The Hebrew writer said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. The Apostle Peter, the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, said, grow. Grow spiritually. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a brand new year. And I want to encourage us all not to be self-satisfied, but to grow. To have some level of dissatisfaction, to say, I can do more, I can be more for the Lord. And to have this singleness of purpose, to determine to do that. And to forget the past. Forget your past sins and regrets. Don't let that hold you back. And your accomplishments as well. Forget that. And press on toward the goal of the upward call of Christ and of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. Let's do that this year. There may be someone here today that's not a Christian. We hope that you will make this the best year you've ever had. And you can do that. It can be the very best year you've ever had by obeying the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You can obey the gospel this morning by repenting of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13 and verse 3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. By confessing Jesus before men, confessing that He is the Son of God, and by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. We want to encourage you. We plead with you to do that this morning while you have opportunity. Life is so short. Our life is just like a vapor that is here for just a little while and then vanishes away. Won't you do that today? We invite you to come as we stand and sing.